Yeah, a little throwback for you. How many of you guys know that song? What? There's like two. You guys were born like last year, half of you, right? You're so young. You got to know a little MC Hammer, right? Can't touch this? Come on now. Come on. That's bringing back my day right there. Welcome to the good music, right? I love that video because two things. Because it annoys cats. I just hate cats. I'm just going to admit that straight up front so that everybody knows. We'll just get it out there. I repent, whatever. I hate cats. And cats are always annoying. And you see how much the cat was annoying that dog? And he's just like staring out that glass like, can't touch this. And he's like eating all its food. And the dog's so frustrated. That's my life with cats, first of all. I hate cats. Man, I don't know why God created them, but we're going to have a discussion when I get to heaven. Like, what was the deal with cats? And second of all, was the song. Like, that song is going to be kind of our theme song tonight. And you're like, what? No, we're not going all like seeker sensitive and playing like secular music and all that deal. But there is a message in it. Hey, listen up, listen up. I know cats are awesome, jam, whatever. Dogs rule, guys. That song had a couple words in it that I hear that John is going to tell us. Because tonight we're finishing our series, Experience Real, through 1 John. And so as we finish the very last couple verses tonight, John's going to kind of go out with a bang. And the thing he's going to tell us basically is summed up in that song right there in a way. And that song says, can't touch this. And you saw kind of like the deal of how that cat's like, hey, I'm free. Like, there's nothing you can do. I'm on the other side of the glass, like challenging the dog. And John's going to tell us that that type of audacity, you know what audacity means? Like courage, like in your face courage that says, I'll go right up to the glass. I'll put my nose against it and leave that really cool oil mark that, you know, have you ever done that? I've seen some people walk into a glass slider door. Have you ever seen that? It's so funny. Oh my goodness. My grandfather did it when I was little and he had a big nose. It just left like this huge. Anyway, I'm digressing, but you know what I'm saying? So like you can't get through it. And it's that type of audacity, that type of courage, that type of in your face, you cannot touch this right here. Like, I'm totally scot-free. I'm going to walk up to you with courage, knowing there's nothing you can do to me. Period. Now, I don't know about you, but typically in my day-to-day life, that's not the type of courage that Rob Jones has as I walk around in this world. I'm not that confident. I'm not able to walk up and just be like, man, no, nobody could touch me. Like, I know some of y'all are thug and all that deal, and you think, like, you can't be touched. Yeah, good for you. But one day you'll get beat up by a bigger kid, right, when you get to high school, and they'll be like, hey, Morgan, you talk a lot, whack, and punch you in the face, and then be like, oh, no, you can touch this. Oh, no. You're like, what am I going to do? Right? And you realize it. So you know, because you're saying it right now. So here's my question for you tonight as we start and we hear what John has to tell us, because right now you're like, what are you talking about? At least some of the leaders are. They're like, we're going to find another church. This guy's crazy. That you can't be touched. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I know that. And some of you guys are like, I can't believe that. I know we're all over the room right now. And John wants to bring us in the same place tonight. He wants us all to understand the same truth that Jesus speaks over every single one of us if we believe in him. And as he closes his book, remember, he's been writing all this letter to us and to these people to say, hey, listen, I want you to know for sure when you walk out of this or when you're done reading this, that the faith that you claim is real, is genuine. That when you stand at the gates of heaven one day saying, yeah, I'm good, Jesus, let me in. And he's like, why should I let you in? That your answer will be accurate. Not just your words, I'm talking about your heart. That the things that come out of your mouth to Jesus match up with a heart that truly is surrendered to him. And John's like, there's a lot of people who talk big. There's a lot of people who go to church, go to youth group, do these things, read their Bibles, and pretend to have faith in Jesus. But it's not always legit. And so he wants you to be able to stand at the gates of heaven, guys, in the front row. And he wants you to be able to look at Jesus and say, my heart matches my words. I have surrendered to you. This faith in me is legitimate. It's genuine. And he wants you to be able to be confident of it. And so he ends his letter, this whole thing, with this, like, almost, it's not a pep talk, it's just the truth about the confidence that you can have if you have true saving faith, that you can't be touched. Satan's on the other side of that glass door, and you can stand and press your nose up against it and sing that song boldly. Say, you can't touch this. And he's about to tell us that in this passage. So the last verses of 1 John, we're in chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Are you ready? We're going to read it to you real quick. It says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one doesn't touch him. We know that we're from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, here's how he ends the letter. You ready? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. What a strange ending to a letter. We'll get there in a minute. I want you to look real quick at that first verse, though, that we just read. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Let's just park there for a second. Let's be honest with one another tonight. You must know people in your life that say that they're Christians, but could care less about the things of God. And I'm not just talking about like coming to church or doing those type of things. I'm talking about like they might come here, but then the second they leave, the first thing they say to you when you walk out the door is an immediate thought in your head like, whoa, whoa, we just walked out of church, bro. Or the first place that you guys go is a place where you're like, wait a minute, why are we going there? You must know people, or maybe you're one of those people that kind of claim the church thing because your friends do it or your family does it. But it says here, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. So whether it's someone else in your life or you that you're recognizing right now that keeps on sinning, you have to ask the question, if my life hasn't changed and I'm still just full of sin, I'm not even struggling against it, I'm enjoying the sin of my life, but yet I'm still claiming Jesus is my Savior, is it real faith that you have? Is it a genuine faith that's changed your life? Because that's what John really wants you to walk away knowing. And he says, if you really believe in Jesus, if it's really genuine, you're going to have this thing happen within you where the Holy Spirit comes in, and when you want to sin, he convicts you and says, don't do that. And he fights it in you. And you want to go to that certain place that your friends invite you to, but the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. And there's this struggle, this battle that starts to happen in you where you're not just like, cool, let's just go do this. There's a struggle inside of you where the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, saying, hey, listen, if you truly believe in Jesus, it's going to change your life. You're going to start to care about the things of Jesus. He's going to convict you of the sin that you're in. He's going to call you and say, hey, listen, that's not where you should go. Those aren't the things that you should be doing. And you'll start to hear God and say, all right, Lord, I want to follow Jesus more than I want these things in my life. So if we really know and have been born of God, he says, you won't keep on sinning because that faith will cause you to start to reject sin and love Jesus. And then he says, but he who is born of God protects him. He's talking about Jesus right there. The one, it says, that was born of God. And we're talking about the firstborn. You guys are kind of near the front. I'm not going to look at you to give you away, but everybody knows who you are because you keep talking. Walk out back if you need to, but don't distract the whole crowd, okay? The one who was born of God. This is important stuff. That's why I'm saying that. Some people in here need to hear this. The one who was born of God is Jesus Christ. The one who came down to a place he didn't need to come. What did he have to come to earth for? He didn't have to live a human life like us. He's the God of the universe. He didn't have to pay penalty for your sin. He was perfect. He didn't have to go to a cross and have nails slammed through his hands and feet. He didn't have to die there and go to the grave. That one who rose from the dead because death couldn't hold him. Jesus is the one who says, I'm that powerful that when you believe in me, I protect you. Satan comes at you and Satan tries to distract you. Satan tries to show you sin and say, hey, worship this over here. It's so shiny and awesome and pleasureful and feels so good. Come worship this. And all of a sudden you're like, man, that is pretty shiny. Man, that does look really, really good. And Jesus said, no, my power is stronger than sin. My power is stronger than Satan. Death couldn't even hold me down. You think that sin is more powerful than me? And he steps into your life because you trust and believe in him. He says, no, sin, I got this. You can't touch this, literally. This is mine. Rob Jones is my child. I'm protecting Rob Jones. And it causes you to have the power to reject sin, which you didn't have before. Before you believe in Jesus, you're a slave. You have no choice but to run after the shiniest thing out there, the most pleasurable thing. Sex feels good. I'm just going to go have as much sex as I want. Drugs, they make you feel awesome. I'm going to do as much drugs as I can. Feels good just to like talk about people behind their back and swear and curse and use foul language. It feels awesome just to let that out and be angry. And so I'm just going to do it. Jesus steps in. And he says, yeah, it feels good till it destroys you. Till it wrecks your whole life. Till it causes you to get to the end of your life and you're in your deathbed going, what did I live for? What promise do I have left? And Jesus says, I offer you eternal life. I offer you something that's never going to fade away. When you're lying in your deathbed, I offer you a promise that you can look forward to and with joy in your heart, you can say, I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. Forever. And so as you start to look at sin in light of the truth of Jesus, you're like, sin's junk, man. I want something that lasts forever. I want something that matters. I want Jesus. And you start to go, I don't need that sin. Jesus, I want you. And he opens your eyes more and more up to how good he is and how sweet he is and how awesome it is to follow him. And that's what you start to want more as he protects you from sin. So he who was born of God, Jesus, he protects those of us who believe. And he protects us so the evil one does not touch him, it says. It makes you untouchable. So many Christians walk around feeling defeated. I don't know about you. Walk around feeling like, man, I just can't beat sin. This thing keeps kicking my butt. I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I know that's wrong, but yet I can't stop it. I keep doing it. I just can't beat this thing. You need to know a promise about your life tonight. If you believe in Christ, if your faith is genuine, you need to know this promise over you. You're untouchable. Sin cannot touch you. Sin does not have power over you. You are no longer a slave to sin. We sing the song, comes from Romans, right? We're no longer slaves to sin. It does not have power over us. Jesus broke those chains. You're untouchable. You are free now to live for Jesus. His death, his resurrection made you free. So that pornography that has you addicted, that you have to keep going back and looking at it and looking at it, and you can't seem to break that habit in your life, guys and girls. Statistics say more girls than guys now. Mind blowing, right? Let's get real. Jesus says, you're untouchable, Christian. Sin can't beat you. But so many Christians aren't trusting in the power of Jesus. They're not believing that promise over their lives. They're literally saying, Jesus, back off. I'm choosing sin. And we need to stand up and go, I have been made free in Jesus. To be able to say no to peer pressure. To be able to say no to drugs. To be able to say no to the party scene. To be able to say no to premarital sex and pornography. And all these things that are like, hey, come worship me. Jesus says, I made you free from those chains. Get up and follow me. Sin and the evil one can't touch you. Because now you're mine. You belong to me. heck no, I'm not letting sin have you. You're mine. It says, He will protect us. Are you living in the power of Jesus? Can you just stop for a second and ask yourself that? Think about your life right now. Think about this last week and ask yourself, am I living in the power of Jesus? Am I living free? Or am I a Christian that's living defeated, not claiming the promise of Jesus over me? Not trusting His power to say, Jesus, I want you more than sin. Are you living free in Jesus? He says, we know that we are from God. He turns back. He's reassuring them and us. He's saying, I'm talking to you who are believers. We know that we are from God. Not just that we're believers, but we're literally now from God. He moved us from Team Satan to Team Jesus. We belong to Jesus. He cut our history and our background and our ties and our traditions and our pleasures in the world. All of our ties to the world and sin. He cut them. You're not from the world anymore. You're now from God. Your history, your lineage, your family, your passion and desire belongs to God now. You're from Him. He gave you a brand new identity. No longer His enemy, now you are His child and you are from God. But so many of us keep throwing those ties back out there, throwing that little anchor down into the world and pulling yourself back over and saying, but it's just so good. It just feels so good to do this. I want to be a part. I want sin. I want these things that keep calling out to me that feel good. Jesus is over here going, but I cut those ties, Rob. That's not where you're from anymore. You're a stranger there. Come home. Come back over here. I made you brand new. You're my child now, and you belong to me. Let me protect you from sin. Come rest in me so I can protect you from sin. But something in me keeps wanting to run, and Jesus keeps chasing me down. Thank God. Thank God He keeps chasing me down and pulling me back over. Thank God that Jesus doesn't forget me and leave me to my own sin. And that's a promise over you too. Do you believe it? It says in the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Guess where you and I live? You know those ties I was talking about cutting before? Yeah, He cut the ties, but guess where we still are? Surrounded by it. Not of it, but we're in it. I don't belong to the world. But guess what? Everywhere I look, there is sin calling out to me. There are idols saying, hey, Rob, come worship me. It's everywhere. Have you guys looked around you? Have you listened to music? Have you seen TV or played video games? It's everywhere. We were trying to find some songs, me and a couple people this last week, just some decent secular songs we were going to do something goofy to. And we literally just searched the entire internet looking for a song that didn't have something inappropriate. It was so stinking difficult. So difficult to find one song that wasn't like straight up worship music, that wasn't inappropriate in some way. Turn on your TV and look. Find one show that isn't totally, even Nickelodeon's full of it. It's everywhere, guys, and you know it. I don't have to tell you that, right? Like, seriously, there's like junior high kids making out on Nickelodeon. It's like, what am I watching? It's everywhere. That's where we live. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. It shouldn't be a surprise. But you can't live in a bubble and think, oh, everything's perfect. You live in a broken world, and you're surrounded by brokenness, and the friends you hang out with, you probably, hopefully, have some unsaved friends that are going to talk to you about that stuff. And how else are we going to share the love of Christ if we don't have unsaved friends? But you got to cut the ties. You got to believe that I'm not of you. I can hang with you, but I'm not of you. I'm of Jesus. The power of Jesus is surrounding me, even in the middle of a broken world that wants me to just worship it. Jesus is like, worship me. Have you guys ever played, anyone ever played paintball? Any paintball people in here? Paintball's fun, right? I used to live in Massachusetts, up in Massachusetts. And we had a decent little lot up there with some like woods, big trees, that you don't see in Florida, like big trees and like dark, very dark. My buddies would come over, we'd get our paintball guns, and we'd go out in the woods behind my house, and we'd just get lost out there and just try to like light each other up with paintballs. It was so much fun. And we would like break up into teams, you know, do the team thing. And this one night we were doing the team thing, and all the other teammates on my team had gotten out, and I was the only one left. And I remember I was hiding in like some like thick bushes. I like dived in because I saw some guys coming from the other team, and I'm like laying under the bushes. And it was so uncomfortable because some of the bushes went up my shirt and were like scratching my back. And I'm trying not to move, and like it hurts so bad. But if I moved, I knew they'd hear me. And they're just coming like from every angle. Like this whole team is just like totally surrounded me. And I remember the feeling laying under there. This thing's like scratching up my back. There's bugs underneath me. It's freezing out. And so paintballs hurt really bad when it's cold, if you don't know that. And so I'm like, I don't want to get shot. And I'm laying there, but they are all around me because they know I'm there somewhere. And I'm just waiting for the moment to just be lit up, you know? And sure enough, somebody sees my like foot hanging out of the bush, and they just lay into me. I mean, I look like a zebra the next day. I just had like, oh, not zebra, zebras have stripes. Whatever, you get it. I look like something, a Dalmatian the next day with these like, man, just bruises, because I bruise like a peach, you know? Like, you touch me and I bruise. I have bruises all over me. But that feeling of just being surrounded was this eerie feeling. Have you ever felt that? Where you're like, man, I can't breathe, I can't move. And that's us surrounded, but here's the deal, we don't have to sit there and hold our breath. Some of us might be scared that the world is surrounding us and coming in on us, but we don't have to fear. Because Jesus is like, I've got this, like I've got you. The world can't touch you. Stand up and have some courage in the middle of this world. Stand up among your friends who just want to keep calling you into bad things and bad influences. Stand up and have some courage. Believe the promise of Jesus over you. Don't just go off and sin with them because you're scared of peer pressure. You're scared that you're surrounded by other influence. Stand up and say, you can't touch this. Jesus is the best, and he's promised to protect me. And I'm going to have some courage and speak up against sin right now. And I could do it with love because I know the one who loves me so much died for me. And I know he loves these people around me. It's time for the church to stand up with some courage in the middle of a broken world. For churches to stop saying, oh, just let people sin because you might offend them if you say anything about their sin. They might be mad at you and leave your church. Jesus says, have some courage. If you really love people, you'll stand up with the courage to call sin, sin, and to point people's eyes to Jesus who died for them. Are you doing that in your school? When you walk through the hallways, do you have the courage to do that? When you're sitting in class and everyone else is doing certain things that you know aren't wrong, and you're like, man, if I don't participate in this, the things they're going to say to me. Do you have the courage to stand up and do what's right? In the locker room when all your buddies are around you talking about trashy things, do you have the courage to stand up and do what's right? Can we stand up in a broken world to say Jesus has made us untouchable? It's good news. It's good news that we're surrounded by the world because we can share the light of Jesus with them when they surround us and we can't be touched. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come. And that's the thing that separates us, right? The fact that you and I believe tonight that Jesus Christ is alive. That he died, but he rose again, and today he's alive. That's why we're here. If we don't say that every time we preach, every time we talk to each other, if that's not the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning, you're missing out. Because Jesus being alive changes everything. Everything. It's way better than anything else you're ever going to come across. And it's the thing that has us here as a church. We believe that Jesus is alive. That's why Firehouse exists. That's why First Baptist Church Merritt Island exists, on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and he's come to us. And it says, and has given us understanding. He's been able to take all these lies we've been fed our whole lives about what's good and what feels good and what we should live for. And he's able to say, hey, no, let me help you actually see truth. Let me help you see something that lasts forever instead of all this junk that you bought into, the lies of the world. And John uses this word here because he's talking about the lies of the world, right? He's talking about the evil of the world. And all of a sudden, he's saying words like understanding. And then he's about to say true twice to say, there's the message here tonight. I'm stuttering. The message here tonight is the world's full of lies. You can live in that. You can be duped. That's fine. Follow it. Believe it. Whatever you want. Or you can follow truth. You can know what's true. You can know what actually gives you satisfaction, and it's not any of that junk. What actually lasts forever. What's actually worth living for. That's what Jesus offers you. So he gives us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. He does more than just let you know it. He makes it intimate. I don't know how many of you guys are here tonight because you're like, I want to hear about Jesus. I want to come to Firehouse because I want to hear more of the Word of God. I want to learn about him. I want to hear his word and what he says about truth. I want that. I want to go to a life group afterwards and talk about it with my friends so I can learn more about God's truth. I want to sing songs that just shout out to Jesus with other people that believe it. I don't know how many of you guys are here for that. But if you're here for that, you're in the right place. I'm pumped you're here. That's why I'm here tonight. And that's exactly what Jesus promises us as we come to him. He's going to show us what's true, but he's going to make us a part of him. It could have been easy for Jesus just to be like, here, just learn this stuff. Here, go learn it. Put this knowledge in your head about me. And then just be like, that's easy, I'm done. But instead, he says, I want you to intimately know me. I want to be your best friend. Jesus says, I love you. Not just I know you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to trust me so I can show up in your life and have you go, whoa, Jesus, do you see what Jesus just did in my life? Boom, he puts a spark of faith in you every time you see that. Blake just walked up to me earlier. Sorry, Blake, I didn't ask you if I could share this. I hope I can. Is it okay? But you told me. I was pumped. We're back there worshiping. Blake and I have been praying for one of his friends for a couple months now, right, Blake? Weeks. A couple weeks now. And he comes up to me earlier, and he got a text from his buddy that just said he accepted Jesus as a Savior. It's just like that type of thing right there is something we should be like, heck yeah, that's awesome. That's the thing that makes me happiest when people are going to stand next to me in heaven and look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you're awesome. And that's the type of thing that's going to build faith in you. That's the type of thing when you pray and you ask God and he comes through and you get to see it, you're like, man, Jesus, that's so sick that you did that. He wants this walk with you. He doesn't just want you to come to church and listen and go home. He doesn't want you just to read some words in a book. He wants you to interact with those words, with that truth. He wants you to interact with him, to be in Jesus and rest in Jesus. That's what baptism shows us. That's why baptism is such an important picture of what's happened inside of us. That as we go in that water, we are immersed, not just in water, but our heart has been immersed in Jesus. He surrounds you because as Jesus surrounds you, you're protected from the world and from the evil one, and you become his. There's this intimate connection between him and you. And John ends that part by saying, in his son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God. Take that, Mormons. Take that, Jehovah's Witnesses. You don't believe Jesus is actually God? Read John 5, 1 John 5. He is the true God and eternal life. So here's a question I have for you guys tonight. Do you have eternal life? As you're sitting here tonight, do you know that when you do meet Jesus face to face and he says, why am I letting you in? Do you have an answer? Will your heart meet the words that you say? Have you genuinely surrendered your life to Jesus and said, take my sin, take my future, Take everything, Jesus, it's yours. I hand myself over to you. I trust you to save me. Have you truly done that so your heart meets your words? Do you have eternal life? John ends by saying this. This is a warning in how he ends the entire book. Little children, that's you and me, keep yourselves from idols. I said earlier, usually it's like, hey, peace be with you. Greet all the brothers with a kiss and a hug and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all this like happy stuff that's like, peace out, yo. I'll talk to you later. You know, something like that if he was ghetto. But he's not. So he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's like, man, I think he's trying to make a point. I think the point of his whole letter is this. There's so much out there that's claiming your praise and your worship because you were designed to give praise and worship. You know that's your purpose? God made you specifically so that you would worship things. God made you to praise and to give attention to something or someone. And it was Him. But the world's coming along going, I know what you're made for. Satan says, I know what God designed you to give attention and to praise and to worship. And so I want your attention and your praise and your worship. I want you to worship me and worship the world and worship sin and worship everything that's not Him. So John's warning at the end is knowing that you were built for that. You need to know that you were built to worship Jesus and Jesus alone. If you truly believe and you have genuine faith tonight, John says this, who are you worshiping? Are you truly worshiping Jesus? Will you close your eyes for just a second and bow your heads? All eyes closed and heads bowed. Some of you guys are really rowdy tonight. And I love that you're here. Distracting or not, I love that you're here. And I'm glad you're in this place. I can put up with it. It's cool. But I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know that if you're not totally into what we're reading about tonight, God's still totally into you. And you might be the one tonight that He's trying to get through to, but Satan's so distracting your mind tonight to goof off with your friends or look at your phone or do something else because he doesn't want you to hear the one thing you need to hear. Would you consider that for a moment? The greatest thing to ever be given to anyone, eternal life, has been offered to you as you sit here tonight. And Jesus says it's free. He paid it. And He wants to forgive you. And the thing He asks is that you would take your life and hand it to Him. That you trust Him. So Jesus, save me and forgive me. If there's anybody here tonight, and that's you, you're in that boat and you've come to this place and you've never handed your heart over to Jesus. You've never trusted Him to save you. You've never asked Him to forgive you, but you want the forgiveness. You want eternal life. You want to walk out of here tonight the way John wants you to walk out of here, knowing that you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, saving faith, so when you reach the gates of heaven and He says, why am I letting you in? He doesn't say, get away from me, I don't know you. But you'll be able to say, because I believed in your Son, Jesus, and He's forgiven me. And I stand here with confidence tonight that I can't be touched because I belong to Jesus. If you've never done that, and that's the Holy Spirit's calling you tonight to do it, will you do me a favor and just slip your hand up in the air quietly? So that's me. I've never accepted Jesus. Never given Him my life, but I want to tonight. Will you just slip your hand up so I can see it and pray for you? I want to accept Jesus as my Savior tonight. I want to be forgiven. Keep your hands up. I just want to ask leaders, will you look around to see if that's one of your kids from your life group that has their hand up? I'm going to ask the leaders to have a conversation with you later, all right? Please don't leave tonight without talking to your leader. You guys can put your hands down. If there's someone here tonight That you're saying, Rob, I have believed in Jesus. I've given him my life. But I'm that guy who keeps drawing ties with the world over and over. I'm saved, but I keep falling into sin. And I need to claim the promise that I am untouchable in the power of Jesus. I want to live free from this sin. Rob, will you just pray for me that God will do that for me? That will free me from sin? That will help me to live free? Will you slip your hand up so I could pray for you tonight? Will you be honest, Christians who are here saying, I believe in Jesus, but I need to be freed from these sins that are holding me back? I see your hands. Anybody else? Raise them high so we can see them. I want to live free. Leaders, if you'll just look around too, there's some students who have their hands up. Will you find a leader tonight? Leader, find these students tonight and talk to them. Pray with them. Let me pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you guys to stand up and let's give our worship where it's due, who we were made to worship. Let's come together tonight after this prayer and let's worship Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Thank you that we get to shout out and sing and jump around because Jesus is alive and we believe it with all our hearts. Thank you that you've given us eternal life, God. We get to spend eternity in your presence, free from sin and hurt and tears and brokenness and death. We get you, and it never ends. Be glorified by us tonight, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.